This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
I love that with Brady's age, we are sort of bypassing washed and going straight to senility. That update where Tom Brady, where you're describing appeared confused, is something on the last drive, is something you would say about like someone my father's age appeared confused out there.
He had a senior moment. He really did. That was, I don't care how good a shape you're in. I don't care how great you are. He had a senior moment. When you get into your 40s, that stuff happens.
I can't believe that this is where we are, where there hasn't been an admission, right, from Tampa or the Bucks that he forgot that it was fourth down. But it appeared to all of us that he forgot it was fourth down.
We got the admission from Brady when he was holding up four fingers asking the referee, isn't it fourth down? I mean,
but he was asked about it after the game, and he just said poor execution is what he said. He wouldn't cop to the fact. I would say, okay, he's been very good down the field this year. He has 13 completions of 20 or more yards. It's tied for tops in the league, but he wasn't yesterday. Like yesterday, he was 0-for-6 on throws down the field, and so that offense becomes very limited. With that kind of pressure, Stugatz, that Chicago can get on you, hitting him a lot, it becomes a tight end and running back game. You eliminate, you know, largely Mike Evans. And so he's going to appear more limited under those circumstances. Probably the type of defense you will see on the road in the playoffs.
Yeah, they got off to the good start. And then you're right, that defense played very well. You know, with Brady, it's kind of interesting because, Dan, that's a game they I know he's upset. He was brought in there. He's, you know, six-time Super Bowl champion from the disciplined New England Patriot franchise to bring some credibility to the Bucs franchise. And I just found it funny in that spot last night that he's the guy that forgot what down it was. Like, to me, that is laugh-out-loud funny.
He had won 42 straight games, according to Larry Mayer. 42 straight games dating back to 2015 when he led by 13 points. It was the longest streak in the NFL for a quarterback. The Lions have lost their last six games when they've led by double digits.
It's probably a game they should have won. I was talking about this with Mike before the show. That call on Shaq Barrett towards the end of the game, that prolonged, that kept a Bears drive alive, was the worst call I've ever seen in the end. No, Dan,
it was
terrible.
Worse than the Rams-Bills pass interference?
Dan, it was so
bad. I'm asking you. You always say something is the worst call I've ever seen.
He is already lunging, okay, at Nick Foles to try to sack him or strip the ball.
He came in here with the take. He was penalized for playing football.
He was. Mike, he was penalized for playing football. It was a terrible call.
I don't know the intentions there. I agree, it was a bad call. Certainly not the worst call I've ever seen. His helmet did make contact with Nick Foles' helmet, which is hard to do because Nick Foles is very tall.
He's 6'6", right? Guillermo, put it on the poll. Was that the worst call you've ever seen? Yes or no? I just don't know. Why can't you?
Well,
why,
because you don't have... You're the rare guy who had another call to throw back in my face. That's why I do it.
But why are you allergic? Why are you allergic to just having a modicum of perspective? Why would the call you saw last night be the worst call you've ever seen? You've been living 47 or 46 years, depending on which lie you're telling today.
Yeah, and let me tell you this, that Bears team is the worst 4-1 team I've ever seen in the history of the NFL. I mean, they're +5. That's their differential. They could just as easily be 1-4. It's crazy.
Okay. Put that on the poll as well, Guillermo. Are the Bears the worst 4-1 team
terrible
you've ever seen in your life?
Name a player on offense besides Foles, I dare you.
Well, now that you've got your
Tariq Cohen,
member of the tribe is out with an injury,
Jimmy Graham is a Bear?
Great one-handed catch last night from Jimmy Graham. I was surprised by Jimmy Graham being a Bear, but that was 2 weeks ago. It wasn't last night. So I wanted to talk to you about something I saw last night because this was a confluence of things that made me have great expectations and then my expectations ended up being not met, which is the story of sports radio gas bag Craig Carton combined with HBO documentaries, HBO sports, just the general good work that HBO does on television. I was looking forward to that, to watching that, to see if they could make me like him by telling the story in a compassionate way. If you don't know the story, he went from being one of the top sports radio guys in the country. He had a bad gambling problem. The gambling, oddly enough, was blackjack. Blackjack was the problem. And he ended up getting caught by the FBI for fraud. And he used to work with Boomer Esiason. They were a very popular morning team. And all of that obviously exploded when the FBI arrested him.
I saw HBO was doing that. I think it was Wednesday night. I didn't have time to watch it, so I taped it. So I'm wondering, was it good? And B, did it do what you wanted it to do, which is try to make you like him a little bit?
It did not, and I was hoping that it would. First of all, it was flimsy because it didn't involve his family. I understand why he would want to protect his family, but if you're telling me you ruined your family life, I'd like to hear from the people involved in that. I understand why he wouldn't want that, but the documentarian should have wanted that, because the story, he is not a scholar, okay? So he is a meathead, and he represents sort of just about everything I dislike about sports radio in terms of being a cartoon critic, just, you know, LeChoke, zero, you're a zero, you're a loser, LeBron, like all that stuff. And they kept talking about how talented he was, but they didn't show me any of that talent. That talent was not on display in what I was watching. It was a bunch of fart jokes. Like, it was just New York sports radio.
Mildly offended.
Well, there was some reminders of you in there. I cannot lie that he has a little, you know what? Actually, I turned to my wife and I said, this might've been what Stugatz had become if we'd never met. Stugatz taking himself seriously. I want you to imagine the path that Stugatz was on, because honest to God, you might have been you might have also been the schemer who got caught by the FBI for fraud. But in terms of a sports radio personality, working with Boomer Esiason, you were trending that way. A loud gas bag who didn't take any inventory of his opinion.
Perhaps. But are you saying that you saved me from jail time? I mean,
So far.
We're not calling that race.
It's early. We will not call that race.
Well, thank you, Dad.
I could foresee a situation where I, like Boomer Esiason, am on camera lamenting, yeah, he ruined it for all of us when the FBI showed up.
It's more delayed than kept out.
I would have done it by now.
But I want to think about that for a second, though. I want to think about Stugatz on a different path. I want to think about, because would you describe Craig Carton as talented? Because the guys who were telling me he was talented, I don't trust their judgment on talent. It was Sid Rosenberg and Chris Christie who kept telling me how talented he is.
Well, I think you trust me from a programming standpoint with radio talent. So I will tell you that Craig Carton, I think he's very talented. Now, I understand the things that you don't like about him, because in general, it's not him. You don't like that person in general. The person who does the job that way. And you're right. I probably would have headed down the path of doing the job that way. But I do think he's really, really talented. I think mornings in New York with Boomer are very hard to do. And he made that show very, very good.
Well, the thing that he was doing is he was helicoptering over to Atlantic City with a duffel bag filled with $1 million cash playing blackjack. And one of the links that they made, really the only one that they made to sort of explain, and this part I did find interesting, the link that the documentarians were trying to make between the idea that he was sexually abused as a child and pushed that down and never spoke about it, and then ended up finding an addictive reprieve in the escape of numbness of just counting cards or watching cards. I don't actually know how he was winning at blackjack, because I think counting cards is illegal, and I didn't hear them say anything about counting cards. So I don't know. Like, blackjack seems like a very difficult game if you're not counting cards to be winning money at consistently. But he was losing millions of dollars. He would go in there with investors who had invested in him playing blackjack, and he would lose like a couple of $1 million over 24 hours. Mm. And so you can imagine the need for adrenaline being so large that you can go helicoptering in to do a morning show. We're exhausted doing this every day. Well, not getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Well, that's what I was kind of thinking. Like, to lose a couple of $1 million at a blackjack table, fly back and do a morning show and do it well. Like, what? How?
Well, I don't think he was doing it well, but he was doing it with plenty of energy. It made me wonder, was there drug use here? Like, how can you possibly stay awake revving on adrenaline at that much time without your body just shutting down? It's not a documentary I would recommend unless you're just super interested in part of the story that you already know, which is how does a loudmouth go from, you know, from having it all in this, you know, the dream of this business to throwing it all away. If you're interested in that part of the story, this is a flimsy look at it. I expected better from HBO.
Don Lebatard.
There are things in sports we're talking about, like how Rob Gronkowski spells souffle. Did you see this on his Twitter account?
I did not.
He needs to not be spelling.
Stugatz.
Sue, S-U-E, new word, flay, F-L-A-Y.
That's not how you spell it?
That's the most dominant thing in the league. Unstoppable. You know how you'd stop him? Line up against him and ask him to spell souffle. It would slow him down if he has to think for a moment about anything other than cleavage.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz on ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. With insurance for cars, homes, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and commercial vehicles at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. All guests on the Dan Lebatard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Lawn.
So if you've been following the show for a while, you know that our guest list is somewhere between eclectic and super strange. Every once in a while, you'll just be listening. And for reasons that aren't discernible to anybody, there's Matthew Modine. So 15 minutes from now, Charlie Whitehurst will make an appearance, and it's because he's just a friend of the show, but also because every time we call him, we imagine that he's riding around on a white stallion. And one of the times we called him, he was in an actual log cabin with Jewel. Like that, he just sort of revealed that casually. We've got Miami and Clemson coming up this weekend, and we check in with Charlie Whitehurst on all Clemson things.
It's a flimsy way to give you the appearance that we're actually into the Miami-Clemson game. We're breaking it down. We're into the game, but really covering the game by bringing Charlie Whitehurst on.
The over-under on questions about Miami-Clemson is set at a half.
I mean, I just want to know what's going on in his life, because he always seemed... how do I explain this to people? Am I explaining to people here in the audience that may not have a familiarity with Charlie Whitehurst, the personality type? And maybe you know the name, but the personality type.
He puts out a vibe. If you Google Clipboard Jesus, you know exactly what this guy's about.
The vibe is, yes, wearing very little clothing on a bearskin rug, in front of a fireplace. Again, not with Jewel in fiction, actually with Jewel in that scenario the last time we called it.
A sexy vibe with a little mystery. That's the way I
very
would describe
well put,
Charlie.
Yes. Stugatz. Yes. This is why you would have been such a great Craig Carton if you had gone out on your own and done a show with Boomer Esiason. Because, yes, that is the right way. Sexy with a dollop of mystery.
And a possible dash of cult leader.
There's a little bit of that as well. A hint of cult leader, and cult leader, as with all cult leaders, who you have to have sex with.
It's not forced upon you.
No, of course.
You just can't help it.
You're just filled with that kind of desire and respect because of the aforementioned sexy with a dollop of mystery that, yes, of course, I will follow you wherever, cult leader Charlie Whitehurst, even if it is to 5-11.
We're with you.
So we will talk to Charlie Whitehurst in about 5 minutes. I want to know the state of his hair at the moment, but The Patriots, I'm sorry, I'm going to keep doing that. Much like with the Chargers, every time I see Tom Brady and Gronk in a Tampa uniform, every once in a while, I just confuse them with the Patriots.
Right.
I still think of them as Patriots.
Well, last night there was no confusing that.
Yes.
Well, Tony has been made sad by just Gronk in general, who looks like an emaciated polar bear wandering around the Arctic as the entire world's on fire and they can no longer find food.
I don't think Gronk was expecting to have to be Gronk until the postseason. They have five tight ends. All of them are now hurt.
No, and Brady loves throwing to those tight ends. He's always throwing to those tight ends. Now, Gronk only had 3 catches for 50-plus yards, but that qualifies as a good game for him because he's been largely just doing blocking. But I want to get into what Mike Ryan was feeling last night, which I don't think is happening a lot in America, which is Mike Ryan was largely indifferent about Tom Brady. Most people aren't indifferent about Tom Brady, but Mike Ryan was until he arrived at 40. And I don't know what happened here, but now Mike Ryan is actively rooting against Tom Brady, is finding himself disliking Tom Brady. And Tom Brady, at this point, should be the most likable version to the sports fan because he's out there doing something that he shouldn't be doing at his age. Like, he shouldn't be good enough to be playing in a Thursday night game at 43 years old as the centerpiece of a team, a young team's future.
But somewhere around 40, he decided to have more of a social media presence and give us insight into who he is. And who he is quite cocky. Cocky enough to think that he can battle time. He even had a show, Tom versus Time, and he wants to be the first one to ever beat Father Time. Doesn't look like he is, even though the record is okay. And look, he just had a massive game against the Chargers, but you're seeing cracks. You have seen cracks in that
game. But how could you not?
Right. Obviously. But he still is staunchly, I'm going to beat Time. But he's doing all the Tom Brady things, and I'm a homer. I got a team with Odell Beckham on it. And even when Odell Beckham wasn't on my team, I thought he was treated unfairly. Look what Tom Brady does on the sideline. Now, Matthew McConaughey, that bleep. Imagine he's black.
Yeah.
Imagine he's black. Imagine that quarterback screaming at his teammates, at his offensive line, while he's a diminished version of himself, blaming others for his mistakes because someone can't guard Khalil Mack. All right? Make that a black quarterback. Now make the quarterback. This is a different...
But why now, though? Mikey's been doing that his entire career yelling
at people.
I know,
but he doesn't have the shine of the New England Patriots on it. And this is like... aging. This is Brett Favre with the Jets. It's got a little bit of that sort of feel to it. Now imagine the quarterback holding up four fingers, thinking that it was third down when it was actually fourth, was Jameis Winston.
I mean, he's got no rings on that finger that he's holding up.
Yeah, Jameis Winston at least involved his receivers. Like this, Mike Evans, I know he had a good game last week, but it can't be what he's doing with Mike Evans. Like, Mike Evans got used to Jameis Winston, was always looking for him.
You don't have to imagine if he's black. We've seen how the media reacts to Odell Beckham doing the exact same things, being fiery. You say, well, he's being fiery. He's a leader. Odell Beckham Jr. is not yelling to his teammates about a photo shoot he's got coming up. He's talking about winning.
I'm with you on yelling at teammates, but he is getting made fun of on the internet for the fourth quarter thing. Like the way Jameis would, like that, he is getting made fun of that. I'm with you on the yelling at teammates thing, though.
There's a new report here. Are you ready, Stugatz? As if it's not upside down enough in terms of America and just this binging on sports coverage. Chris Fowler and Kirk Herbstreit and Laura Rutledge are headed to the Patriots-Broncos game, which will be played Monday at 5 p.m.
Oh, I love
Monday
that.
Monday afternoon football. Monday early evening football, according to sources.
I think we have that. We have the doubleheader on Monday with a 5 p.m. game, and then I think we have a Tuesday night game as well.
But ESPN ended up getting a doubleheader here.
This is according to Andrew Marchand of the New York Post.
Nice little make good. There's going to have to be a lot of that this season.
Charlie Whitehurst, a sexual being with a dollop of mystery, joins us next.
Don Lebatard.
If it's 3% on $100 million, that's $300,000. On 120, it's 360.
Stugatz.
3% of 100 million is 3 million, Stugatz.
Oh, my bad.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz on ESPN Radio.
Charlie Whitehurst going to join us in just a minute from Parts Unknown. On the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, Pennzoil synthetic motor oils are made from natural gas. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W-30. Today on ESPN Daily, University of Miami quarterback De'Eriq King may not be a household name, but this Saturday's game against Clemson could change that. Hear King's remarkable story on ESPN Daily. Subscribe wherever you get your podcast.
He should be a household name. He's an exceptional quarterback, and he's almost always the best athlete on any field he steps on. probably not against Clemson. I'm not sure. But on most fields, he's the best athletes. I don't know if we have briefed Steve, but let's take our chances here.
Oh, boy.
Christine Lisi is off for a couple of days. So Steve has replaced her, professional Steve. Let's give him the kazoo treatment.
And finally, unlike many TV shows, a classic sitcom, Sanford and Son, only had one version of Fred Sanford's vintage 1952 Ford F-150 pickup. The truck, surprisingly, actually still runs to this day. Speaking of once well-oiled machines, now on fumes.
Oh, there we go.
Hey,
here's Dan and Stu.
Hey, hello, Steve-O.
Thank you, Steve. Welcome to the gathering. You've got big shoes to fill, my friend.
Steve's voice says radio.
Yes, it does. Professional radio. This guy's voice says sensual with a dollop of mystery. Charlie Whitehurst, 11 seasons in the NFL, played for, three or four years at Clemson. And so Charlie Whitehurst joins us now. Do you agree with my assessment, Charlie, and thank you for joining us, that you are sensual with a dollop of mystery?
Sounds good to me. Yeah. I'm going with that from now on. Appreciate that one.
Yes.
Do you mind telling us where you are this morning? What's going on, Charlie?
I can't do that. But no, I live in Atlanta. I'm nowhere exotic. Those days are gone. I live a quiet, retired life now in Atlanta, Georgia, and play golf.
So was it a call or two ago that you were in a log cabin with Jewel? You're not doing things like that anymore?
No, I don't do that anymore. I mean, I do like spending some time out west. I was in the Utah mountains a few weeks ago chasing elk with a bow and arrow. Was not successful.
Of course.
You must have looked so good doing that.
So good. So good. Your hair blowing in the wind. Like, that must have been amazing. Tell us more.
No, it's good. I mean, I have a lot of time on my hands, being that I don't really work right now. But I love being outside. I've really gained an appreciation for the West Coast. It's not, I grew up on the East Coast. I did spend some time out west in some of those cities when I was playing. But trying to fill my time, I like getting in the woods, and that's what I've been doing. You know, I hunt in the fall, and that's what I enjoy doing.
Yeah, Are you an accomplished hunter? Can you tell us? Do you have a good hunting story you can tell us?
I was unsuccessful this last trip, but. I do hunt whitetail deer. I've done pretty well the last couple of years. I have a friend in Texas with a whitetail ranch that I'll be at in about 3 weeks. So usually things go well there. But I just like being outside. It's not about actually harvesting the animal for me, you know, even though I will do that. But I enjoy being outside. It's a great time.
What do you do in the spring?
Hunt turkeys. I start playing golf. Spring is the slowest time of the year for me because it's a little cool to play golf, but travel a little bit. I spent about a month in Kiawah Island, South Carolina this spring. I have a friend that has a place there, so fished a little bit up there. You just try to fill the time with this COVID deal. A little bit different.
You wear pants no matter the temperature. You wear pants on the golf course, right?
Whatever you want to think. I mean, it gets pretty hot down here. I know you guys are in South Florida. It gets hot. I'll put on shorts.
So no pants, Whitehurst. All right. Whitehurst, again, he played more than a decade in the league. He is sensual with a dollop of mystery. How good is this Clemson team? Because you've seen the recent incarnations. You didn't want me to ask him any Clemson.
We all had the under.
You didn't want me to ask him any Clemson questions.
I had laid -200 on the under.
Charlie, the amount of Clemson questions asked, we set the number at one, the total at one, and we all had the under, and Dan just asked it.
Well, go ahead. Ask him more questions about his sensual, mysterious life. Do you have some more?
That's the worst beat I had all week, and Tyler Hero made a three at the end of the game.
How good is this Clemson team that you're looking at? Because they haven't been tested in any way. It's Wake Forest and West Virginia, and I'm sorry, Virginia. It's the Citadel. Can you tell how good their defensive line is?
I don't know how good the defensive line is. Obviously, they got the quarterback, and the running back, and that's a big part of it. But yeah, in the last couple of years, that defensive line has been dominant for Clemson. I think it's unproven. We'll see. I think that Miami will be a test. I think it will be a heck of a football game. You know, I heard you earlier with the quarterback. I didn't know much about that quarterback. I watched him the last couple of weeks. The guy is a playmaker. I think he's very talented. I think he's a heck of a quarterback. I mean, he gets the ball out really, really fast. He seems like a strong arm. He can escape. He can run. Well, you know, we'll see. I mean, I think that, you know, I'm putting my money on Trevor Lawrence and Etienne.
Oh, but you sound less confident. Charlie, we're used to your swagger.
Yes.
You sound like you're a little afraid of De'Aaron King. I'm not used to seeing a dollop of fear with the sensuality and mystery.
Here's what I'll say. I Clemson has dominated the ACC for 3 or 4 or 5 years. Okay? I like it when Miami is a power. I like it when Florida State is a power. Florida State is far, far away from that. But I want to see Miami. Yeah, I want Clemson to win. I think they will win. I love what I'm seeing out of Miami, though. It's good for the conference. It's good for college football. And it makes it more exciting. I mean, I hate to come across like this, but it'd be nice for Clemson to play exciting football games. They don't do it very often. Right. And, you don't want to ever take that for granted as a Clemson fan. I mean, how good Clemson has been the last couple of years. But, I mean, it's like, you know, they're going to win every week. And that's great. And it won't always be like that. But a little bit of drama here and there is fun to watch as a fan.
All right, here's the big question. Better head of hair, Charlie Whitehurst, Trevor Lawrence?
Woo!
Wow.
Woo!
Yeah. I get asked that. Here's the deal. I wasn't able to grow it long in college, and Trevor has. So I'm going to have to give that to him. I've cut my hair in the last couple months.
What?
Not as long as Trevor's.
What?
Yeah, well,
what?
It's still long.
It grew back instantly, right?
Yes.
it's going real fast, boys. I'll tell you. But it was halfway down my back. I said, hey, I'm not 25 anymore. You know, so. I've moved on a little bit with
Charlie,
that,
you're forever 25,
yes,
and
you
your
are.
Hair should go down to your ass. What's the matter with you? This is like, what is the matter with you? Do not allow the people, the ageists out there, to limit your youth, your sensuality, and your mystery.
Well, if they could read my mind, I'll tell you what, I'm not my age. But Trevor's doing it. Trevor, good gosh, how old is the guy? Is he even 21 yet? I don't know. I mean, it'd be great to be him for just a week. And see what it's like.
You are.
Wait a minute.
You
are wants to be you.
You are him every week. What are you talking about?
I wasn't the first pick of the draft. There's a few things he's got on me. But look, I'm happy. I guess I'm speaking for other people. Maybe not necessarily.
You might have the last laugh because he might end up with the Jets.
Wait a minute. He just said he's speaking for others, not necessarily myself.
That was a great line.
You tell me when he's been in a log cabin with Jewel.
I don't know. Well, I think Trevor's doing it the right way. I know he's engaged. He's football first, and I think that'll serve him well in the future on the football field. Good for him.
Charlie, good catching up with you. Thank you for being on with us. We always appreciate your time, sir.
Hey, thanks so much. Really appreciate it.
All right, Charlie.
Dan Le Batard.
Is there anyone, Serge, who refers to you by your full name?
No, I don't think so.
Can you tell the audience what your full name is?
Ibaka, Ngubila, Serge, and Jonas.
Stugats.
Isn't your full name 10 words? Serge Abulo, Lamu, Sayong?
No, that's not true. That's not my name.
Okay. I'm sorry I made that so awkward for you. Hell of a day we're finishing.
Yeah, it's okay.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugats on ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. News from the Dan Le Batard Show Nation. Someone has just hit us up on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed, Bette Midler, @_theSwindler. In response to Dan's criticism of
again?
The, yeah.
You guys aren't looking very hard for these.
That's good.
I mean, we just got a sponsored Dr. Pepper tweet segment, and what are you doing? Just following Bette Midler @Swindler?
@_theSwindler. The Swindler. That's a fine, by the way. In response to Dan's criticism of the HBO documentary on Craig Carton, quote, your morning zoo that has had someone doing 69 jokes for years and does zany gags making fun of someone else doing lowbrow radio? self-awareness, like sports predictions, not Levitard specialty.
Listen here, Bette Midler underscore the swindler. We do high and low. As far as I could tell, Craigie Carton was only doing low.
And I've been picking my spots.
You've stopped doing it some.
I'm a little bit more judicious.
We don't just do low. We're the sweet spot of high and low.
Craigie Carton?
That's right. That's what they were calling him in the documentary.
Craigie?
Craigie, yes. So one of the greatest compliments that we get around here that makes it feel a little less meaningless, the nonsense that we do every day, barking into microphones, caring about silly sports things as, you know, America burns, is people who tell us that, you know, we're bringing them through some sort of crisis, that the laughter feels like a bit of spiritual medicine that helps them through grieving or depression or loneliness or whatever it is, especially during these times, Stugatz, like where I really worry for the mental health of people who are either with a bad companion in a tight space or by themselves for months in a tight space, because that loneliness would erode the strength of just about anybody. It's a real mental health issue to be living in these times with these restrictions if you don't have human contact. It's, you know, it's Castaway, it's Tom Hanks, it's do you throw yourself from a mountain to stop the loneliness? Like, it can be something that is deep, profound, and a misery of sorts.
Even while not certain whether or not I should be doing it, I feel very fortunate that I have somewhere to go every single day. I do. I mean,
it will be a challenge for just about anybody. You should know that if you're feeling alone with that. And so it's a compliment that we get pretty consistently, and I'm always moved by it, Stugatz, because it makes what we do less meaningless. But I wanted to read to you something that somebody sent me that was touching in that vein, because it goes a step further and it speaks to the power of these microphones sometimes when you actually reach somebody. Now, you remember at the start of this pandemic, we talked to Dr. Celine Gounder.
Yes.
And she broke down in the middle of the interview talking about just the level of fear and unknown. And basically talking about how she was worried about her friends and healthcare providers because they were about to get inundated with sickness. And so John Gunnell, a nurse from Arkansas, moved to New York purely to help at the height of the crisis, and he ended up never leaving. One day he was listening to this show, his favorite podcast, and he found himself so moved by that interview that he decided right there that he would move up to New York and do whatever he could to help out.
Man,
it's pretty cool.
It's very cool.
And it doesn't happen all the time. I know we do wacky jazz hands and we do that lowbrow humor, that producer who just does a bunch of 69 jokes every time something is nice. But every once in a while, you get some of the moving stuff from people that's not easy to talk about and feel self-congratulatory. But the reason that I'm telling you about is specifically because I question all the time the worth of what we do for a living. And you guys remind me every once in a while with stuff like that, makes it feel slightly less worthless. Tim Kirkshin joins us next.